I don't know if it's been a partial rapture or not, but we'll get going here. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And of course, the purpose of the prayer, test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Spirit, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to Jesus Christ, glorifying to God the Father in the power of His Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your Spirit who illuminates Your Word to us. We thank You, Father, for local assembly where we can come and study Your Word, worship You with those who are like-minded. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to You, glorifying to Your Son. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Okay. Let's open our hymnals and begin. 191, is that it? 191. Got to go with our study this morning, so let's open our hymnals to 191. I have decided to follow Jesus.
To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with
It's already difficult in various parts of the world to be a Christian, and I think it's fast becoming so in America, where if you're a Christian, that means you're saying all non-Christians go to the lake of fire, therefore you're bigoted and you're in hate. You're a hate person. So that's how they're going to control the spreading of the gospel and people teaching or telling others about Jesus Christ. When you do that, you're isolating everyone else, so you're a bigot, and you're into hate. And that is so unfortunate that that's where we're headed, but that's where the young people are being taught in their schools and where we are in our life. Okay, let's begin this morning. I would like you to join me for just a few moments of your time for a special prayer meeting. This one issue. We're going to pray, and I'm going to let you, if any one of you want to pray out loud, please do so. We're going to have special prayer for Jim Langston. Now, Jim did not have treatment this Friday. Didn't need it. But this morning he has a staff, and just not doing that well. So let's spend some time together and just be in prayer. This is about Jim and Annelle Langston, so let's go to the Father in prayer together.
pray for your comfort for both my mom and my dad. To get them through this latest challenge of this staph infection. There does seem to be positive direction as far as his cancer treatments. He does have an upcoming scan this Wednesday. We pray that it's in your will that we will see some positive improvement with his situation. I pray for continued bolstering of their spirits, give them both strength and energy to continue to fight on and to do your will.
Dear Lord, hear our prayers. I pray for that your spirit just be with Jim and Annelle at this time. I know the struggles you can face when you're hurting so bad. We know you're with us at all times. I pray for all the family, Jeff, Debbie, Jay, everybody. How hard it is to see a family member suffering with cancer. We know you've got this. We know you're the ultimate healer. Just be with them, Lord, and let them know your presence. In your son's name I pray.
Father, we ask that this challenge that Jim and Mel are going through will be glorifying to you, that they'll have the opportunity to talk to others about how they find their spiritual peace. And that it's the opportunity, Father, for somebody to come to realize who your son is and to understand the kind of joy and peace even through trials and tribulations that you can have. Father, we pray for Jim and Mel and just give them joy and peace in their hearts. Suffering is part of our lives. It's part of the fall of man. We just pray, Father, that you give them comfort, just supernatural comfort, supernatural peace through your spirit. And we just pray for Annelle as she's taking care of Jim. And we just pray for Jim's spirit and his health and whatever your will is, Father, for his life and this point forward. I ask this in your son's name.
Heavenly Father, we love and need our brother Jim here in our congregation. And we just pray for your healing in his life. We pray for his ability to rest and take on nourishment. We pray for peace and encouragement for he and Annelle and for their children. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless and deal with him in your mercy and in your grace as you've always done. We ask these things in Christ's name.
Father, we come together to pray for Jim and Annelle, and we extend the prayers to those surrounding them, for the doctors, team to have the proper diagnosis and course of action. We pray for our team members of the church who are trying to carry on Jim's mission that he whole year and has been building up for years and years, that we will not let him down and will not let you down, Lord. We pray for all of the missions and things that actually are pleasant that for Jim, that to carry on and help him out and fill him with joy and comfort for days.
Father, you're an awesome, mighty God. That we can come to you with everything. We ask you, Father, to put your arms around Jim and Annelle. We thank you for them. We love them. He is your servant. And he is our friend. So, Father, we just ask for peace, for you do your will in his life, in Annelle's life, and be with Annelle as she's a caretaker. And we know that that's a difficult role. So we ask you, Father, again and again, just to be with them. Wrap your arms around them and let them feel the peace, just your peace that passes all understanding. We praise you, Father, for for the God that you are. And we thank you that we can come to you with everything, everything. And you're listening. We praise you, Father.
Prayed, trusting in your compassion and your love. We pray, Father, you would demonstrate your compassion and your love for our friend, Jim Langston, who has served us so well, served you so well in this assembly. Give him strength, give him peace, give him courage. Let us be, Heavenly Father, the friends that we ought to be. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Okay, now, let's go to other prayer requests at all. Is there any other prayer requests that we have?
You want to guess? Patricia was having some minor health issues, and I just asked you to pray for that she can enjoy her time up there and visiting.
Oh, okay, absolutely. Serious health?
It's uncomfortable, but not too serious.
No. You're being prepared for that, then. Absolutely. Because my sister, my brother-in-law.
Trying to sneak in.
I found a shorter way.
Yeah, the wrong way around.
He got me lost. I ended up in Fort Worth.
Herman, tomorrow Eve has surgery.
Tomorrow Eve.
It is a very involved, and it's her back, and it's very much involved. So just pray for the surgeons, pray for her, as she'll be in rehab in 2 weeks, and they are actually going to go through her. It's the 3 and 4 back here, and they're actually going through her mouth to whatever they do. I mean, it's amazing what they can do, but it is very involved. And but the choice is her options, that she would be paralyzed if she doesn't have it, and so she really doesn't have to or have the surgery.
Is this an infusion? Are they infusing her?
They're going to take a cadaver in her, in these vertebrae. Isn't that right, Steve?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Okay. And then they'll do that. It's stenosis.
Yeah. I know what he had. Yeah. That's what my dad had. He had the infusion in the spine, but they didn't go through the mouth.
Yeah.
But he was in a brace for a while.
Yeah, she's going to be in brace and rehab for 2 weeks.
Okay.
But this is probably a new procedure that you can go through them out.
That's great.
So in the morning, please be in
prayer for Eve and for the doctors during the surgery. How's Thomas?
He's doing good. Just really trying to find a job. He had several interviews this last week, so keep praying for that. And same with this guy. Same with Dad. But
any other prayer? Yes.
Please pray for my mother. She's in treatment for cancer since around last summer. She finished her first round of chemotherapy, cancer in pancreas, metastasis, liver, so it's very difficult to us. And my father is a little bit old on her. And we are only my young brother and my sister who has lupus, and my nephew who has no work is 60 years old. And also my brother-in-law has another problem with motor system, with walking, so family is sickness in the family.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
I didn't remember you the last time or later.
We'll join you in prayer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Daily. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes.
We've been praying for Debbie O'Neill and her family. Her brother has had pancreatic cancer. He did pass away this past Monday in New Mexico. He was a pastor out there. So Debbie and her family drove out and just were filled with peace that he's not in pain anymore. He knows where he's going. Louis, for his family, who is just ready for him to not be suffering. But my prayer is just that We don't even know the impact that her brother had on so many people sharing the gospel throughout his life as a pastor,
yeah.
And that will continue to spread. And just for safe travels for Debbie and her family driving home. So.
How's the family doing?
I think overall they're doing well. She said even when you think you're prepared, though, you're not prepared. So
is there anything special we need to pray for them?
What's that?
Is there anything special we need to pray for the family?
Just to keep trusting. They're all believers, but just keep trusting.
Thank you for these requests. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
Yes, I do not know the name of the family, but apparently there was a lady that was killed last week. By her strange boyfriend or whatever. Apparently that's the daughter of a guy that was on the hunt lease with my dad.
Yeah.
And they were planning on going to the funeral this week, but because of my dad's eye infection that he's got now, they're not going to go. Everyone keep the family in prayers, because I think they've been in fervent prayer for my parents or my dad and my mom, you know, during this entire period. So we want to keep them on the list. I just, again, I don't know the names. What's the name?
Peters.
That's the last name.
Yeah.
And she's what, like 40?
Yeah, I think she was 40.
Very, very young. And then she, her young daughter, teenage daughter, or she's about 20, found her. So it was a kind of a long...
Yeah, that's my understanding.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's hidden her parents real hard, which was a friend of my dad's.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. Well, if your dad was real close to them, your mom and dad.
Yeah. I'll be in prayer for the family. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
A set of brothers that have come with us to camp for years, Quentin and Chayton, have decided to enlist into the Air Force, and they will be going into boot camp in June. So just ask that you guys would be praying for their family and for them as they start this next chapter of their life.
Good.
Next Sunday morning, we're going to have a special Sunday. We're going to have a graduation challenge, and right now, the primary or the only graduate that I'm aware of is Ben Daig. And if you know of any other graduate that graduated from high school, or even not, but we're going to have a challenge. It's been next Sunday morning, and a challenge for Ben. It's going to be much different than I would have gotten that I received when I was in high school. The world has changed so drastically. That, you know, I'm not going to be talking about don't speed in your car. And, so they live in an entirely different world than, what we did. But that'll be next, Sunday morning. Any other prayer requests? The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined, one, as person who has believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. Two, one who knows how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith, because it is the Spirit who guides us what to do with our time and our money. We have many wonderful opportunities coming up. September the 11th, Saturday night, is the dining. May the 11th. May the 11th. So please bear that in mind. Come hungry and come with your pocketbook. And... So that's coming up. All right, let us go to the throne of grace together in prayer preparation for the offertory. Heavenly Father, we know we're an humble assembly. We also know that you've given us so many wonderful opportunities. The worldwide internet, the young people, the camp getting ready to come up in July, missionaries, the Risleys, and Heavenly Father, our own family here, so many wonderful opportunities. And therefore, Father, we pray that if you have more, you'll open up the door and show us more. You receive the offerings that we're about to give, and use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Does anyone not have the handout? Do you know how to walk spiritually? Does anyone not have a copy? Everyone have a copy? Does the preacher's wife have a copy? All right, there you go. Okay, thank you, Gigi. All right. Okay, last 2 weeks we've took off a Resurrection Sunday study of the crucifixion and resurrection. And this Sunday we're going to be back in the Colossians 4. And then next Sunday we're going to be in a special challenge, which I'm looking forward to. And ask you to, if you know some other high schoolers or college graduates, please invite them. And then we'll be back for a very, very important study in Colossians 4, 5, and 6 in what's going on in the world today. But right now, we're going to deal with walking spiritually. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, the Holy Spirit to guide you. So purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Spirit, who is a true teacher, not me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the Word of God, for it tells us what's going on in history, past, present, and future. But Heavenly Father, it tells us about our own lives, how we're to live, in reference to You and Your Word and Your Spirit and Your Son. So Father, we pray now Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You'd have us to see, to understand in the Word of God. To this end, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Be wise in the way you act toward others. Make the most of everything. However, the word, how you act, is actually walk in the Greek. Now, we just finished on Wednesday night the study of Acts. Studied the whole book of Acts and then a couple of classes added on to it. So, this Wednesday night, going to start a new study. Now, we've studied Daniel. We've studied the book of Revelation. We've studied Matthew 24 and 25, which Christ deals with end time events and the second advent. So what we're going to do now is Wednesday night, we're going to take a look at parts of Ezekiel. And the thing I love about Ezekiel, one, he's a temporary of Daniel. He is written in slavery in Babylon. out of Israel. And we're going to see the dry bones. You've heard that song, dry bones, dim bones, and dry bones. We're going to study that chapter. We're going to study what? Huh? we'll study that chapter along with other things in dealing with end time. End of the church age, going into the 7 years. We call it the 7 years of tribulation, but actually it's the last 7 years promised to Israel by God. God is faithful. God will keep His word. He owes Israel 7 years, and that's the last 7 years after the rapture of the church, and then the beginning of a millennium. Now there'll be some time after the rapture of the church before the tribulation actually begins. So this is what we're going to be studying on Wednesday night. Now, here's the deal. We won't be here except for the end time of the church. Now we need to know those things so we can understand what's going on in history and have the confidence and the hope of the future. But the real issue for us is how do we live our Christian life right now, day in and day out, in your marriage, in your single life, in every area, your business life, your health, growing, money, finance, everything. How do we handle the things that go on in our life? That's very important. So we meet three times a week. I wish we met more, but we meet three times a week. Two of them deal with living the Christian life right now. One of them deals with the Old Testament, Ezekiel. I like to always be in the Old Testament, keep up on the Hebrew and all, and just deal with some things dealing with the end time, what happens after we leave the earth. And so we'll be studying that. But how are we to handle as we move into the end time? Things are going to be very rough, very difficult. It's going to be very difficult being a Christian. In America, not just in the East and other parts of the world, but in America. Because if you are a Christian and you say that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life, you're a bigot. You're going to be accused of hate because you are saying other people won't go to heaven if they don't believe in your Jesus. So we're going to be under the gun very quickly. It's happening right now. So how are we supposed to handle the attacks against Christianity? How are we to handle all the religions on the earth? Are we to love everybody? People we just saw in our 9:15 class. God loves everyone. But let me remind you, He loves all the people who will spend eternity in a lake of fire. It's not just being loved, it's benefiting from His love. That's the issue. That's the issue. A mother can love her son or daughter, but they rebel against it. You're only going to be benefited if you understand and accept that love, respond to that love. So we've got to understand these great issues. We have a lot of problems in America today. Yes, we're to love the communists, but they're anti-freedom. They're anti-capitalism, which is what America's built on. Yes, we're to love the Muslims, but they're anti-Jesus Christ. So we're to love the adulterer. We're to love the fornicator, the promiscuous person. We're to love all of these different people. But love does not mean condone. There's the righteousness of God. God did not say, I love everybody, therefore everyone's going to be saved. Everyone's going to heaven. He didn't say that. I love the world so much, I'll send my Son so that those who believe in Him will not have to spend eternity separated from me in a lake of fire. And that's the truth throughout this book. This book is about Him sending His Son, the formation of the Jewish race. Why these last 7 years to the Jews? These are God's people. We've got to understand that. And anti-Semitism is growing in America. I guess all of you know about the attack on the synagogue in California. It's this weekend. It's growing. And the New York Times had an anti-Semitic slur against Trump and Netanyahu. So it's growing and it's being accepted, condoned. These are God's chosen people. Christ came from them. And they have a future. 7 years in the tribulation, and then they have all their promises are given to them for all the millennium. They're fighting over a little bitty plunk of land right now in Israel. But let me tell you something. In the millennium, the promised land of Israel will be what God promised in the Old Testament. It'll go from Saudi Arabia up to Mount Hermon, over from the Mediterranean Sea, over to Euphrates. It's going to be an unbelievable portion of land, and Jesus Christ will rule the world from Jerusalem. I was so disappointed when I learned that from the Bible. I knew he was going to rule from Palestine, and I thought that was Palestine, Texas. But it's not. He's going to rule from Israel, Jerusalem. See? So, there's so much to understand in regard to the time in which we all live. Now, there are areas that we live in today, day in and day out. Colossians chapter 3 and 4 addresses the important areas of our life. Keep seeking the things above. Colossians 3:1. That's how we're to live. I love the Old Testament. Teaching children. In the morning, at noon, at night, as you walk on the way, as you eat, whatever you're doing, you teach them. You teach them. We don't do that anymore. Very few people do it. We ought to teach them every day from this book, at home. That's where they learn, people. They're not going to learn under sitting down in a class. They learn by watching you. You tell them to go to church and you don't go. You tell them the Lord is important, but He's not important to you. You tell him to respect and listen to the pastor, but you have fried pastor going home from work with them, or from church with them in the back seat, and that's all they hear. So you can tell them all you want. They heard what you said. The pastor is this, the pastor is that. So they're not going to respond. People, we need to teach all the time the truths of Scripture. Now, walking is used once in each of the four chapters in Colossians. It has a different emphasis in each of the occurrences of the Greek word to walk. Colossians 3:7, we walked as unbelievers in the pagantry of the mind. Colossians 1:9, we're to walk in a new way now that we're in Christ Jesus. And then Colossians 2:6, how do you do it? We are to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith. Now, Colossians 4:5, the one we're in now, we are to walk in wisdom toward those who are without. Now, let's pick up a few points on walking. Point one, spiritual walking. The word to walk is most applicable word for describing living a life pleasing to God. Running is often used for acceleration of Christian growth. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. But no one runs all the time. Just as walking requires one step at a time, in living each day worthy of the Lord requires living one volitional decision at a time. And people, our life is made up of decisions. You make a decision about money, work, life, marriage, everything. Your life is evolved around the decisions that ran health. It evolved around the decisions we make every day. Walking is a perfect figure because nearly everyone does it. However, doing it and understanding it are two different things. Those who walk learn to walk before they were aware of the mechanical issues involved in walking. That's the way most of us were. Little baby fell maybe, and everybody laughed and came over and picked us up and all that. But we just learned automatically, as it were. We do not even begin to realize all that is involved in walking. The people who really understand the importance of the mechanics of walking and all of these things are people who have to relearn. My good friend John Hintz came here a couple of months ago. Did a major motorcycle wreck in 06. That's 2006. And in 06. And bless his heart, he had to learn to walk all over again. I flew up there and stayed a week or two with him. And it's just unbelievable. You have to learn everything. Your step all over again. He's walked all his life. And all of a sudden, it's not mechanic. It's not automatic. Has to learn. He had to learn. They had him take a pole with little rings on it and take it off of that and put it on another roll and put another pole. Stupid little things for us. But when you don't know what you're doing, you got to learn all over again. So he had to learn all these things again, how to walk over again. That which we take for granted is not so easy. Therefore, this makes a perfect example of living the Spirit-filled life. The secret to walking is found in the energy plus balance, two things that are involved in walking. In natural or physical walking, you are getting from one place to another. You are moving forward, generally and hopefully. In spiritual walking, you are advancing in the plan of God for your life that day, each day. As we are in the spiritual realm, will come to refer not only to individual steps that we take each day, day in and day out, but the course of life. To make up your mind. Next week, what do you want to be? What do you want to be? I know it's difficult for a senior in high school, 16, 17, 18 years old, getting ready to graduate, to think about when they're as old as an old person is 50 years old. But where do you want to be? Where do you want to be 30 years from now? You have to make up your mind. It isn't just going to happen. You have to get some ideas, some goals, some direction. And what's it going to take to get there? See? I've used the illustration with you many times. Kid hangs out with his friends. See? And then they stay out late, eat pizza, watch TV, all that. Then it comes into late July, early August. It's time for football. So he tells his friends, look, I'm not judging you. I wish I could do it. But I can't do that and be the player I want to be on the field. So I've got to bow out with y'all and start regulating my life, exercising, getting the studies done, getting homework done, getting this done, and then exercising and be ready to play. So he knows he's got an objective. And when you have a goal, you often have to make decisions. You have to drop some things and add some things. See? This is true in every area of life. You decide you want to make some decent grades. Okay. There goes late night stuff. Unless you're a genius and a little smart. See? But most of us, that means we have to discipline. Study. Open the books. Do some work. You want to make some decent grades. So you make decisions what you want to do with your life. And you have to make decisions what you want to do with Christ in your life. Now, point two. The mechanics of walking. Principle. Walking is almost an instinct and obvious process of life. For most of us. But let's look at it. Point one. Principle number one. The mechanics of walking involves recovery of balance. I know we're not aware of it, but that's what's involved, recovery of balance. This is one of the first things you learn when you're learning to walk all over again. You quickly learn about balance. Man, Homo sapien, is a biped, two-footed. This means that man is off balance for a split second. And the only time it's accentuated when a comedian wants to have some fun about a drunk person, and they have their foot up in the air and they're stumbling around, that's the point. You've got to have that balance. He's off balance. He can't put that foot up and get it back down quick enough. See? So we're at that one split second, we're off balance. So that takes us to point two. Let's develop the analogy of this word from the standpoint of mechanics of walking. Whether you're aware of it, your body is off balance for a second until you put your other foot down. And as you put your foot forward and down, you move forward. You move. That's how we progress in our walk. Three, as we walk each day in the angelic conflict. Now I'm talking about your life. That's the word walk in the Bible. It's our life. In the angelic conflict, we can most easily become off balance. I gave you the simple analogy of walking. You take a step, for that second you're off balance. Now let's take it to the spiritual angelic conflict. In living the Christian life in the angelic conflict, it is very easy to get off balance, but stabilized by continuing to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, growing in the wisdom and understanding from the Word of God. Next, 2 weeks from now, we'll get to the wisdom part. Four, this also brings us to the mechanical point of momentum. Momentum in life. As we continue to walk in one direction, we build up momentum in walking. It is most interesting to watch and observe either a baby beginning to walk or someone relearning to walk after an accident. Not that certain of lifting a foot and planting it. We don't even think about it. But you watch a baby. Oh yeah, I put that foot down. Well, I didn't put it down fast enough. Now I've fallen. See? Or a person learning to walk, like John had to. Got to put that foot down, and then you lift up the other one, put that foot down. We don't think about it. But it's a mechanic that we have to be aware of in our spiritual life. Not that certain of the footing that we're walking. Soon after, they both learn to develop momentum by walking. That's the way it is in the Christian life. We should desire momentum in our Christian life, in our spiritual life, that momentum in our marriage, in our single life, at work, health, whatever we're doing in life. You want to have a momentum toward Christ in your life. We build this momentum by continually walking by faith and consistently walking in the wisdom and understanding that comes from the Word of God. One of the problems with Christianity today, few pastors want to study the Word of God. It causes division. There are people who don't like it. There are people who disagree with me. And I want more people. So I don't want to teach and have people disagree with me and not want to come. You can't do that. You got to study and teach the Word of God if you're so called to do that. And then five, the fifth principle, the believer is off balance because he lives in Satan's world and possesses an inherited sin nature. Every one of us possesses inherited sin nature. You've got that when you were born. You do not lose it until after death. In the resurrected body, there's no inherited sin nature. But we recover, stabilized by putting his foot down. This is faith recovery, where the Holy Spirit gives us that momentum and maintain the balance. Six, there are three mechanics in walking. Three mechanics in walking, physical to the spiritual. Energy, motion, balance. Let's take a look at energy. You need energy to walk. Athlete, every parent should teach their children this, but athletes are very conscious of it. What I eat, what I don't eat, what I drink, what I don't drink, all this kind of thing. Can't live on Coca-Cola anymore. Got to stay with good water, stuff like that. Got to have that energy, proper proteins, vitamins, minerals. You need energy to walk. Power. In the physical analogy, we eat and sleep and exercise to have the power to walk. Question. Too tired to walk? This often happens in the Christian life when believers do not study and take in the Word of God. Too tired to walk in the spiritual realm. Don't want to walk. I don't know it. So I'm not going to walk in it. This happens often in the Christian life. They don't study the Word of God. They don't know how to be filled with the Spirit. Got to know how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. There is no walking, no movement whatsoever if you are not empowered by the Holy Spirit. Period. It's amazing. One branch of Christianity wants very little to do with the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't want to make them look like the people at the other end, the charismatics who have them babbling in tongues and all of that. So this group, Satan's done a great job. He's neutralized that group, and he's neutralized the group over here because they don't want to be like them. So we don't talk about the Holy Spirit. People, the Holy Spirit is essentially important to our everyday life, but you got to know how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. The Holy Spirit gives the believer power, the energy to walk in a momentum, in a manner pleasing to the Lord. Motion. Motion denotes two very important principles of walking. First, volition. The believer must have a desire to walk worthy of the Lord. Second, in momentum, direction. Direction is the whole objective of this study. What is the direction of your life? What's the direction of your marriage? Why, if you're single, why are you marrying this person? Why are you going to this school? Why are you taking this job? Why did you choose that church? All of these determined by my objective, my momentum, where I'm going, what I hope to accomplish. So this direction has everything to do with the decisions you make in your life. Marriage is made in view of a direction in your life. And I might add here, if you are of the age of marriage, dating also is very important in direction of your life for the Lord. You can't, if you're at the age, marrying age, you can't be dating somebody that you don't want to marry. That isn't going to work. You're at a dangerous place in life. And many people have married the wrong person. Not taught properly in church, but also just weren't taught about the issue of momentum and direction, goals, objectives. All these and many more are made on the basis of where you see yourself going and who you are in the world. Now, who am I? Do I not matter? Am I just another animal? That's what college teaches now. We're all, there's no such thing as creation. It's evolution. And all we are is a higher animal. Your life has no objective, no purpose, no future. After you die, turn to dust, and that's it. It's over. And that makes, that's, you know why that's acceptable? Because it doesn't cost me anything. I don't have to make any decisions. What the hell? Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow I die, and it's all over anyway. But if there's a God, if there's Jesus Christ, if there's salvation, if there is a heaven, and there is a hell, that's a whole different story now. Now I've got to make new decisions in my life. I've got to make a decision where I want to go, how I want to do. So this is very important as far as our study is concerned. Now, are you going in the direction of the world or the direction to please Christ? You can either please yourself, please Christ. It's up to you. You have to decide what you want to do. You make the decision. You cannot want both. Self-gratification or pleasing to Christ. You can't do both. Because the flesh self does not like Christ. The flesh self does not want to walk with Christ. The flesh self does not want to trust Christ. That's why faith is a battle. Not just learning. Learning's not a real battle. Some people love learning. I do. They just love studying the Word. That's what I want to do. I want to go to church where I just study the Word. Don't have to do anything. Just study. Just learn. No. It takes faith. And faith is the battle. And it's difficult because the flesh nature does not want to just trust. The flesh nature wants to be part of the program. The basic instinct of man is not sex. The basic instinct of man is to perform and be rewarded. That's the basic instinct. So I want to be a part of it. And just to say, I can do nothing and I trust totally in Christ, I trust totally in His Spirit, I can't do that. I've got to be a part of the equation. Therefore, tell me what I need to do, and I'll be glad to do it. It is so important to understand divine guidance, to know the will of God for your life, will now and for the future. As to direction, the direction you wish to go determines decisions. Big decisions and small decisions that you make daily in your life. You depend on where you decide where you want to go. What do you want to have? I don't care your age, whether you're in elementary school or up in the age with Mike and me. They get up there in their old age. Get up old. It's bad. But the point is, you've got, you're alive. You make a decision where you want your life to be next week, tomorrow, where you want your health to be, where you want to be with Christ, where you want to be with your husband, your wife, your work, your life. Make decisions about direction. Now, balance. Balance is that which stabilizes your life. The application here is twofold. First, for balance, you need to keep moving in that predetermined direction. You predetermined it. Predetermined direction. Believers lose balance when they are walking in a manner worthy of the Lord and then change directions right in the middle of the step. Right in the middle. They're walking this way and all of a sudden, I think I'll go this way. They take off out of the direction of the Lord. Right in the middle of the step. That's how we sin. Right in the middle of walking by faith, we decide not to walk by faith. I'm going to walk by the flesh. We lose the balance. See? Lose our balance with the Lord. Now, the analogy. You decide your direction. You start walking. You put one foot in front of you. And immediately, you're off balance. Therefore, vulnerable. When you're off balance, you're vulnerable. All you have to do is catch a person standing on one foot and you can push them over with one finger. They're off balance. See? They're vulnerable. So, you quickly move the other foot down to give you balance. See? You cover your balance. Continue motion is the key. This motion, momentum, gives balance, stability to your life. Later, you're able to walk or march in line with the Holy Spirit. Not at the beginning. Galatians 5:25 has caused a lot of problems to people. They don't understand the difference of what's going on in 5:25 about keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Because they haven't learned how to keep in step with the Word of God. Walking is used in the Word of God to describe the pattern of life of great importance in the Bible is the power source that you use. Walk according to the flesh, or walk according to the power of the Holy Spirit, and you get to make up your mind every day. There is no hyper-Calvinism. One of the great benefits of God, He gives everybody volition. You get to decide for yourself what way you want to go. You choose each day your power source and direction of your walk. Three, there are four spheres of the believer's walk in walking worthy of the Lord. One, in the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16. Two, walking by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7. Four, we walk by faith, not by sight. Most people walk by sight. Unfortunately, they marry by sight. This is dangerous stuff we live in when you live by sight. You've got to learn to walk by faith. The one that is most interesting, for when we are physically walk, we walk by light. But spiritually, we have to walk by faith. We need the light in our physical realm. See? It's very, very dangerous in our house. I'm going to my house, right now, our house, to do any walking at night if all the lights are off. I mean, you won't make it. You'll bump into something after your second step. See? I often told Judith, if I ever have the heart attack and the ambulance has to come, they'd never get me out of there. They'd never get me out. See? So we need that light. Well, in the spiritual realm, that light is the Holy Spirit. That light is the Word of God. The Word of God is a light to my path. It lights up and lets me know where I'm going, what I'm going to do. Three, we walk in truth. That is, we walk in the knowledge of the Word of God, as in 2 John chapter 4, verse 1. I was very glad, 2 John 4, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. I was very glad to find some, not all. Not all believers are going to do this. It's a very powerful verse. Some, not all believers, walking in truth of His Word. Of your children, believers, walking in truth. You can walk in truth, you can walk in Satan's lie. We're to walk in spiritual love. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. So, we're to walk in the Holy Spirit, in truth, the Word of God, which you have to know, in spiritual love, which you have to know, by faith. It is impossible to walk worthy of the Lord or to walk so as to please Him without walking by faith in His Spirit whom He has sent to us. Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. How did you receive Christ Jesus? By faith. How are you going to walk? By faith. Now we move to Roman 4. Walking, therefore, is a description of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16, Romans 8:2 and 4. Therefore, knowing how to be filled with the Spirit is essential to the believer in walking, living his life in a way that pleases Christ. You've got to know how. And I'll tell you right now, most preachers don't know how. And a multitude of believers don't know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The most important question for the unbeliever, how am I saved eternally? The most important question for the believer, how am I filled with the Holy Spirit? And they're both by grace through faith. Both. Now, point five. There are some strong warnings concerning walking. And we all know a lot of them. One, Ephesians 5:15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but wise. Question, how does a wise man walk? By the power of the Holy Spirit, guided by the Word of God in his soul. But it's very important how you walk. See, this is the job of a parent. As a child grows up, this is my job as a pastor. Teach you to walk as a wise person. Parents need to teach your children. Make wise decisions. Wise decisions about who you have as friends. How you regulate your time. Your money. What to do with life. What to do in situations. You want to live as a wise person. Pick your friends wisely. See? What church you go to? One of the most important things for Ben Gage next week in our challenge. He's now reached a point he can pick any church he wants to. Chris and Laura Day, this is our church. We don't have a basketball court. We don't have a big youth program. But this is our church. Now, when he graduates from high school, he's reached the point, pick your own church. It's a great responsibility. This is where a lot of young people are born. I don't want to be like mom and dad. They walk that straight and narrow. I want to live a more adventurous life. I want to live a life more wild. I want to live a life where Christ is more open to everybody. Everybody's going to be saved. That's my view. And there they go. You got to be wise. You got to walk as a wise person. Not as an unwise person. So how does the wise person walk? By the power of the Spirit, guided by doctrine in his soul. Secondly, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say, claim, that we have fellowship with him, and yet walk in darkness, we lie. And do not practice the truth. Remember his statement was, I'm so proud your children are walking in truth. Now, 1 John 1:6, and lie and do not practice the truth. They're not walking in truth. And you see, people, here's the thing. You get to decide. American history was built on the truth. In the first meeting, the first Congress meeting of the farmed nation, I don't know if you know it or not, they spent 2 hours studying the Word of God. 2 hours of the first congressional meeting. And they followed that suit for a long time. But then we reached the point where we're too smart. Let's take the Bible out of the judiciary system. And now we no longer have any absolutes in our Justice Department. It can be anything you want it to be. Let's take the Bible out of our educational system. Now we can teach evolution. We don't even have to mention creation. We can teach the children, they're just animals. And we're the higher breed of animal. We're going to take care of all the lower animals. That's what communism, socialism is about. We're the elect ones. We get to decide how to take care of everybody. Y'all know how to make money. We know how to spend it. So we're going to tell you how to spend your money. We're going to run the world. We're going to run the country. Globalization is on its growth in the world. And there are the elite people who do not want America. They want globalization. Obama was taking us to globalization. They hate Trump. Why? He's an American. Make America great. No! We don't want to make America great. We want to make America part of the world. Globalization. And in the tribulation, you're going to have a battle. The nationalists and the globalists. It's going to be unbelievable what's going on. So you have to decide these things. You have to be taught these things and learn to walk in truth, in light of His Word. The Word is light. Without it, darkness. What about walking in darkness? John 12:35. So Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer, the light is among you." That is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. "Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes." You don't know where you are when you're in darkness. And that's the way most people live their life. That's why they don't know who to vote for. They don't know how to marry, where to go to church, all these kind of things. They walk and they live in darkness. You live in darkness, you have no idea of the light. You don't have no idea where you're going. I'm afraid that the epitaph of many Christians will read, "He was always walking in the dark." That's going to be the epitaph for most Christians. Walked in the dark. Look at John 8:12. "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will be the light of the world." We got to get rid of this Jesus. We got to get rid of him. He's a bigot. If you don't walk in him, what about the Muslims? What about the Hindus? What about this person and that person? What about all these other people? You Christians are bigots. So you make up your mind, people. It's either this book or the world. You follow the world, you're going to be walking in darkness. It's that simple. It's not difficult to understand. Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." You're a bigot. You're in hate. You give that kind of a gospel, the day's going to come where they can shut down Christians by saying, "You teach hate." No, this is love. He's provided His Son so that everyone can escape eternal damnation and be in Jesus Christ, be in the Father. It's love. We make the decision not to believe in Christ. We make the decision. No one's going to be in a lake of fire for eternity by God's choosing. They made a decision. I don't want the love of God. I don't want Jesus Christ. I don't believe this book. See? And that's why throughout the world, not just America, throughout the world, this book is under unbelievable attack. Because it is the light. And we want to turn out the light so nobody sees what we're doing in darkness. Also the warning in Revelation 16:15. "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame." Got to walk in the Word of God, people. Another warning is that is often overlooked when studying the Christian walk. 2 Corinthians 10:3. "For through though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." The point here is that we are prone to war, battle, in the angelic conflict according to how we war in the physical world. Training, disciplining the flesh. Many people are many Christians and religious people, very proud of their self-discipline. "I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do this, and I don't do that. I walk straight and narrow with God." Very, very proud of their control of their flesh nature. They know nothing about walking in the Spirit. But they are very proud of their control of the flesh. But as this passage teaches us, we do not fight in the spiritual with visible weapons. It's invisible. How then do we fight? Look at verse 4 now. For the weapons of our warfare, that's a spiritual invisible warfare, are not of the flesh, visible, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Alright, build up against us, against your growth in wisdom and knowledge and understanding the Word of God. These forces are built up against your marriage. People, Satan loves it when he can get two Christians to divorce. He loves it. He thinks he's won. When he can get a Christian who's married to another Christian to have an affair, and if he can get that affair with another Christian, boy, all the better. He just takes a whole all of them out. Your happiness. He wants your happiness to be based on the world, based on momentary things, based on Bluebell ice cream. Good area of happiness, see? But that's what he wants you to think. Walking against walking to please Christ. Please yourself. It's about you. It's your life. Don't live your life to walk for Christ. Live your life for yourself. So, we're not to walk as the unwise, but as the wise. That is, by wisdom from the Word of God. That means you have to study the Word of God. Oh, I hate studying. People, this is one of the best things in the world, studying this book. I took a test in college before I knew about Dallas Seminary, about studying the Word of God. And they called me in and said, you're best fit to be a lawyer. And I went, listen, I love the courtroom scene where he gets to perform. But I happen to know a lawyer has to study. He has lots of books and has to study. And I'm not going to do that. And then I ran into RB Theme, and then I learned you study the Word of God and teach. And then I went to seminary, and now I got an office full of books. That's what I do is study. But you know the difference? It's a joy. It's a joy to study the Word of God. It's exciting to study the Word of God. It's new. I can study the same passage that I studied before. It's new. It's just, oh, life. The book of Ezekiel, I'm ashamed that it's taken 45 years in the ministry for me to get to studying Ezekiel more than just as a survey, which we did. It's just powerful. There's so much in the Word of God. So we're not to walk as the unwise, but as the wise. That is to walk in the angelic conflict by the light of the world, about the light of Christ. 6. Walking wisely from the Old Testament. Just to let you know, this is not just something in our time. Point 6. Confidence of walking with the Lord. With the Lord. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Now waters is used for conflict that we have in life. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, severe testing and judgment, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. I will bring for witnesses Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in a burning furnace, came out, not even their hair was scorched. They'll give you witness to the truth of this. The love of God calls for us to walk in a manner that pleases Him. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, that's His word, where the good way is, and walk in it. And as a result, you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And that's, unfortunately, most people, even a lot of Christians, we're not going to walk in the Word. I don't need the Word, don't want to walk in it. You make up your own mind. Jeremiah 6:17, and I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Listen to the sound of the trumpet. That's the sound of the Word of God. But they would not listen. Jeremiah 6:19, I am bringing disaster on this people. People, this, you got to understand history. God made it very clear at the very beginning. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not the God of Abraham and Esau, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the true God. And He promised things to them. And that's what is going to happen at the end. It's all going to be brought back to the truth of His covenant to those people. And He said, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. What do you think America is so great in history? No country in church history has touched America and what it gives to the common person. You can own land. Land! That could be your land. Not the government's land, your land. And you don't have to be somebody. Just get up, work, get under capitalism, make some money, buy your house, buy your land. It's your land. It's wonderful. It's freedom. It's freedom. But where does it come from? I will bless those who bless you. All through our history, we have blessed Israel. And we prospered by it. We now have a president who blesses Israel. And the stock market the other day was the highest it's ever been. Stocks are going places. Trade is going places. It's unbelievable what's going on. You don't see it on mainland media. But there's so much going on the good side. Do you think those things are just happening? No, it's God. God is at work. And when this country turns its back on Israel, which I think we're going to do once Trump is out, it's going to change. See? Okay, unfortunately, sometimes it is not wise to walk as your parents walked. Ezekiel 20:18. I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, or keep their ordinances, or defile yourselves with their idols. Not all parents are wise. It's a wise child who realizes that, you know what, my parents weren't wise. I'm not going to follow their suit. Another historical example is that of Amon. 2 Kings 21:20. He, Amon, did evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh, his father, had done. For he walked in all the way that his father had walked, and served the idols that his father had served, and worshipped the idols. So, as a result of walking as his father walked, he forsook the Lord. People, you can't do both. One of the most interesting things I like about when a young person or anybody starts dating, one person, guy has four or five different girlfriends. This one is athletic, likes some boating. This one likes to go out at night and dance. This one just likes being at home. So he likes all of these. Then he meets her. What's one of the things that starts happening? You start dropping off these other girls. Don't have time. Nothing against them. Just, I want to be here. I want to be with this one. That's what we have to do with Jesus Christ. I don't want to be with the idols of the world. I want to be with Christ. I want to walk with Him. Sometimes parents live in a wisdom that you should follow. 1 Samuel 8:3. His sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. Now, in conclusion for this morning, the biblical concept of walking conveys every area of your life, every decision that you make, if single or married, if single, your involvement with others, and why? Which college, and why? Which job, and why? Where to live, and why? Why marry this person? Decisions you make as to whom you will marry, and why? Where you go to church, and why? Why do you go to that church? Is it just a good business deal? See? Why do you go to church? I'd be honest, when I was in seminary, I couldn't find a church that taught the way I was trained and wanted to taught. So, I went to Highland Park, Presbyterian, and a lot of rich churches to see chicks. That's why I went to church. See? And then I decided, you know what? This is a waste of Sunday morning. See? Why do you go to the church you go to? Do you go there to learn? To worship with others? or for some other reason. See? Financial decisions you make and why. What you do with your money. Moral decisions you make. All these kinds of things. And 2 weeks from now, we'll study and dark up walking in wisdom. And I got to tell you something. It's going to be hard for some of you. It's going to be very tough. I'm not going to pull any punches. I'm going to let it go. We're going to look at America and walking in wisdom. So that's coming up next week, our graduation challenge. Oh, by the way, next week, no communion. We took that last week for our Resurrection Sunday. So there'll be no communion lunch. We did that. So just the normal procedure next week. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. I've been walking all my life, Father. What's all this stuff? But I haven't been walking with you all my life. Got to learn how to do that, Father. Got to learn with you holding my hand. Where I can't even take a walk, a step, if you're not holding my hand. Not guiding me in the direction. Not giving me the momentum. Not walking to please your son. Father, make the decisions that have to be made. That's the way I want to walk. I want to walk to please Christ. Not to please myself, but to please Christ. My Savior, my friend. Father, I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.